Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Expert Insights Publishing, best-selling books, award-winning magazines, and global broadcast and communities. Welcome to a most exciting show today. Today we are thrilled to share a replay of our exclusive interview with Clayton Moss. Clayton is featured in our latest bestseller, Ready, Aim, Inspire. To learn more about this amazing book, visit Amazon.com. Enjoy today's show.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Family of Opportunity, home of Insights and Published Magazine and Broadcast, where visionaries and those on the rise come together to create immediate impact. And I am so excited today because we have a young gentleman with us that has just inspired and impressed me so. He is Clayton Moss. Clayton is 20, and he was featured on The Best of Oprah to describe the torture he received at the hands of his father and stepmother when he was only 6 years old. He was repeatedly taken into chains like an animal and locked in a really small closet. Clayton shares how he survived and how his story has saved and inspired others and how he's continuing to go on and make huge contribution in the era of inspiring others, regardless of the obstacles they've had to overcome. So, Clayton, welcome.
Welcome, Pat. Thank you so much. You know, I'm glad to be on the show.
Oh, well, it's just my pleasure to have you here and to be able to introduce you to all of our readers and listeners. And Clayton, I know the experience you went through when you were so very young was really horrendous, but can you share with us what that was all about?
Well, when I was 6 years old, my biological mother dropped me off at my dad's for a visit, and she never came back. My father and stepmother locked me in a dark, hot, airless bathroom closet when it was kind of a form of punishment for me not being able to sleep and me not being able to just go to bed for the night. And, this went on for months, and, I mean, sometimes it'd be in the closet for over 24 hours. I mean, just the extent of it was, you know, horrendous. You know, they'd wrap me in chicken fence and chain it up so I couldn't sit down or, you know, so I couldn't rest. And, that was my punishment for not being able to sleep in the first place. And, you know, when it came to food, I wasn't fed very often, or given drink very often. When they did feed me, it was stuff that was just coated in, Tabasco sauce and, you know, just anything they could find to make it, you know, horrendous for me. I didn't have the opportunity to go to the bathroom or anything like that. And, you know, when I did have to go to the bathroom, I'd have to, you know, urinate on myself and defecate in the closet without having to be able to use the toilet. And, at that point, you know, they urinate on me and, you know, wipe feces in my face and things like that. And I couldn't help it. You know, I had to use the restroom, and, you know, I'd scream for help, and, I mean, just all these things that they, you know, they did just, in all reality, make life just horrible for me. And, eventually I got out of that situation, and, I've kind of built on it, and that's kind of what I'm working on today.
My gosh, that's just amazing that they would leave you in there under those conditions for such a long period of time. For how long did this happen for? Was it years that this went on?
It wasn't years. It was months. Police aren't really for sure. From the reports and things like that. And, you know, I didn't really have a sense of time. But for me, it felt like an eternity. It felt like, you know, it could have been years. It was enough to impact my life, you know, horrendously. And, it's unreal, you know, what people can do to other people and even their children, you know, and it's wrong.
My gosh. Well, while this was going on, how did you survive through it? when you were so young and impressionable, and children are so loving and trusting. How did you survive through that experience while it was happening?
Hope, faith, and trust that someday, you know, I'd have the chance to be free and that someone would save me, or, you know, that I'd be able to somehow escape. I mean, every time I was awake and, you know, not thinking about how hungry I was thinking about how I could get out, how I could save myself, and, you know, and it's just faith in everything, and, you know, the people around me and God, and, you know, just praying that someone would save me.
Wow, that's really amazing that you went through all of that for an extended period of time and never lost faith, particularly at that age when we're so dependent on those people that are supposed to be caring for us. That's really quite amazing.
I agree, and I, you know, it's just what it came down to is, you know, it's just praying and hoping that, you know, someone would save me, and, you know, eventually someone did.
So tell us a little bit about that. How were you saved? How did that transpire?
My stepsister, she was a few years older than me at the time. She was a teenager, and when they'd leave, she'd let me out and feed me, and you know, and she had to put me back in before they came back, but. I mean, and she got so sick of watching them do it to me and, you know, had the abuse and all that, that she ran away to Kentucky. She got picked up by the police, and she at that point told them what happened. And the police officer, Sheriff Todd Pate, he called them and said, "You have to... When you come and pick up your daughter, we will release her, but both parents have to sign for her. Like, that's the stipulation." And by saying that, he knew that they would bring me, he actually hoped that they would bring me, and, you know, thought that it would work, and sure enough, they cleaned me up, they told me to lie about everything that happened, and, you know, just, they were just being super nice to me because they didn't want to, you know, get busted per se, and at that point he started another investigation when he saw the marks and you know, just the obvious signs of neglect and abuse.
Did he actually take you in then and check and interview you and talk with you about what was going on?
He did. The Sheriff Pate told my father that he was going to interview me, and my father's like, you know, the Child Protective Services has already been here. They've already interviewed my son. I mean, there's no reason for you to interview my son. And at that point, he said, you know, well, I haven't interviewed your son, and I'm going to. And at that point, you know, Sheriff Pate used his keenness and, you know, his personality, and to really gain my trust, and you know, and that it all comes down to, you know, how children trust everyone, and you know, he after this all transpired, he just became you know, the only person I thought about after I, you know, got out of the situation. You know, I felt like he was my best friend.
And I would imagine that developing that trust for someone you've never met after you have been through everything, and the trust that really a good outcome could come from that, must have been somewhat challenging for someone so young.
And at first it was, and you know, I was really unsure, and I didn't want to open up to him, you know, because I didn't trust him. But you know, he got down to my level. You know, like a 6-year-old best friend is what I saw him as. You know, at the end, because that's just how he put himself towards me, and you know, he showed his caringness and his lovingness that really ultimately, you know, gained my trust.
Well, you know, when I first saw your interview on The Best of Oprah, I believe it was during that interview that she actually reconciled you with Sheriff Todd Pate. And I was wondering, what is your relationship with him like, and how instrumental was he in just turning your life around?
After the reunion on Oprah, because I had, every once in a while I'd go online and I'd try to, you know, look him up, and I couldn't find him. And, after that reunion, we're really close. You know, we talk a few times here and there. I mean, he's talked to me since I've been out in LA, twice. So, I mean, we keep in contact, and he's still a really good friend of mine, and I look up to him, you know, with the world, and you know, he's one of my biggest inspirations, and you know, just the person he is and the family man that he is kind of a role model for me, and you know, what I want to be in the future, and who I want to, you know, develop to be when I mature more in my life.
Oh, and you know, it's so wonderful because that all came about because you were brave enough to share your story with one of the biggest audiences there is in the world. And that must have been pretty astounding.
Yeah, it was a terrifying experience, and I was really unsure about whether I wanted to do it. A few years earlier, I had the opportunity to be on the Montel Williams show, as his producers called, and my mom, you know, she wanted me to be a kid. She wanted me to live a normal life. So she, at that point, said, "No, you know, I can't do that to him. I gotta let him be a kid. You know, he already had so much of his childhood taken away, and I just can't do it." And, you know, she didn't ask for my opinion on that, because I would have been like, you know, I would have been ready to go and, you know, ready to do it, but it was the best thing she could have ever done. And you know, when Oprah's producers called me, it was something that we had both discussed. And you know, because at that point I was 19 years old, and you know, it was my decision in all reality, but we talked about it, and you know, we discussed outcomes, and you know, we came to the conclusion that it was something we wanted to do, something that I could use to impact others, and you know, to change other people's lives. And you know, her sharing my story in 2000, I mean, that made an impact. And you know, and having me on the show, I think could be, you know, did even more of that, and extended that further than, you know, what I could have ever imagined.
You know, you're referring to your mom. Who do you look to as your mom?
It's a funny question, because my biological father and mother, I don't even like using that word, and I can't think of a better word to use for them. My real mother and my real father are my aunt and uncle, who adopted me, and you know, gave me the childhood that I, you know, that I didn't have, and really raised me up to be the person that I am today.
Oh, so you really think of them as your parents?
I do. More than, I mean, it's like, you know, when people are adopted, they don't feel the complete, you know, mother-father bond that I do. I mean, I have so much trust, so much faith, and I look up to them so much, and, you know, I give them credit for everything that, you know, I am today, and I love them to death. They are my mother and father, and they always will be.
Oh, and I can just hear so much love and appreciation in your voice. It's just so beautiful, and that's what really attracted me to wanting to talk with you more, because you managed to get through this and with such a positive attitude. I was wondering, do you have any relationship with your father, or your stepmother, or your real mother at this point?
I don't. I after the Oprah, I contacted my mother, and I kind of confronted her, because she was really heavy into drugs and things like that when this was all going on, and you know, she could have been there, after it happened, she didn't really show much of an effort. She signed over custody papers like it was nothing. And, you know, I haven't heard from her since I was six, so I confronted her. And at that point, all I received was more lies, and that's when I was done. You know, if, you know, she ever wants to come forward and change that, then, I mean, that's on her. But my father, as of right now, it's not looking very good. But eventually I'd like to talk to him and ask him why. And as of right now, it's not something that I can do.
Yeah. Have you been able to develop any forgiveness for this horrible thing that they put you through?
I think that it's really important to forgive them, even though I don't agree with it, even though it's hard for me to forgive them. It's really important, because if I don't, then it's something that's just going to haunt me and something that's just going to bring me down. And, you know, I do have a really good degree of forgiveness for them. And my father, he was a good father before all this started happening and before he got with my stepmother. So, I mean, I there is some compassion there. I look down upon, you know, what they did, but I do forgive them for it, because it's important that I do, so I can move on and use it as power to fuel my passion instead of just something that holds me back.
Oh, that is so beautiful, and that is so empowering for all of us to hear that. That's such an empowering emotion and an attitude. You are such a positive person. How did you develop such a positive attitude? And I know, you know, Sheriff Todd Pate really helped start that process, but how did you regain your trust in people?
That's such a hard question for me. I developed a positive attitude just by, thinking about it and, you know, what could I really have done to prevent this? This isn't something that I did. You know, I kept asking myself, why me? What did I do wrong when I was in the closet? But after, you know, I grew up and after I thought about it and really kind of pondered on the whole subject, I realized that this wasn't my doing. This was something that they had going on and something that they, you know, did on their own. So, you know, I took that and I realized that I can use this. I can use this situation that I was unfortunately dealt, and I can use it to inspire other people and to change people's lives, to show them that, you know, it doesn't matter what negative has happened to you. It doesn't matter the hand you're dealt. You can come out of it and you can be a great person no matter what, because you control your destiny. I mean, you're the only one who can control your destiny. It's you know, it's just the way that you look at things and the way that you you approach things and the trust. You know, I just realized that, you know, if I don't learn to trust people and I don't gain that trust in people, then I'm not going to be happy for the rest of my life, because all relationships in the world are the majority of it is based on trust. And you can't have a relationship with anybody without trust. So it's just, learning to trust people and, and kind of anticipating the worst, even though you know that the best can come out of anything.
Mm. Wow. That is so inspiring. Clayton, you know, so many people feel that their stories aren't worth telling, or their stories are too embarrassing for them to share. And I know Oprah shared that when you really told your story on her show, it actually saved the lives of some other abused children, because it gave them the courage to come forward when they heard you. And I just want to emphasize how important that is, that we are able to tell our stories, because they can have a huge life-changing impact on others, can't they?
Yeah, and I mean, and that's I had no idea when I first went on the show, you know, that I thought, you know, if I went on the show the second time, you know, when I actually being on the show, I thought that if I impacted one person, that would be, you know, that would be my deed, and that it was well worth, you know, putting myself out there. And, you know, because it is embarrassing, it, you know, it's what my father and stepmother did to me. But at the same time, like, it opened people's eyes. And, you know, I had thousands of pieces of, you know, messages and mail and things like that from people who were inspired. And, you know, people who were abused when they were younger and, you know, and couldn't let go of it and really just were down all the time because it's all they thought about. And, you know, after seeing my story, I got so many messages of people who realized that it wasn't their fault, that they could just let it go and really use it to power their passion to be a better person, because it's what I'm about every day, you know, being a better person and, you know, making a difference in someone's life some way. You know, my biggest thing is if I make one person smile every day, I've done my job. Like, I've made that person's day enough to where they smile. And, you know, and it's a spider effect, really.
Yeah, it's so amazing how small our world has become and how any action that we make can have a ripple effect that really echoes all the way around the globe. It's really something. I'd like to take this opportunity, if anyone is listening that knows of a child abuse situation or is experiencing that themselves, the National Child Abuse Hotline is 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's the numeral 4-A-CHILD, 1-800-4-A-CHILD. So be sure, if you need to use that number, that you have that handy and you use it, and that Clayton's message hopefully has inspired you to actually grab the courage to take action to change your life or someone's life that you know. So, Clayton, what inspires you now?
You know, I have a friend that I met after the Oprah Winfrey show, and it was kind of crazy because he contacted Sheriff Pate, and Sheriff Pate sent me an email saying, you know, I don't know if this guy's crazy, I don't know what it is, but I figured I would send you the email, and you can look it over and kind of decide for yourself. Basically, it was just a summary of a nonprofit organization out here in L.A., and that this gentleman, Dr. Bill Dorfman, wanted me to attend. And I called and I talked to him, and I mean, this guy talked for 45 minutes and I didn't get a word in. But, you know, he basically told me, you know, there's this nonprofit program, I'd love for you to come out here, all expenses paid, but I want you to come to this program. It's a youth leadership conference. It's LEAP is what it's called, the LEAP Foundation. It stands for Leadership Excellence Accelerating Potential. And he said, I'd love for you to attend this program, and you know, I'd love for you to speak to the 500 or 600 kids that are going to be there. And if you don't want to, that's fine. But I still think this program will be the greatest thing that you've ever done. And so I was kind of skeptical. I got on both websites, his dentistry website and his LEAP Foundation website. And at this point, it kind of all clicked. I was like, okay, this guy's, you know, he's real. And so from that point, I decided that it was something that I wanted to do. I came out here for a week. It was at UCLA campus. We stayed in the dorms, and we woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning and didn't get done until 10 o'clock at night for 6 days. And, I mean, it was the biggest impact on me to be successful, to be an inspiration to others, to, I mean, just all these things that it taught me. And, you know, from there, I just became great friends with Dr. Dorfman. And we chatted after, you know, the program, and he convinced me to come move out here to L.A. and, you know, to try to better myself and to speak and impact others. And so I did that, and I met James Malinchak, and I ended up at his event in December, and, you know, and so in January I moved out here, so he's one of the biggest inspirations for me right now. I also have my parents, you know, like I mentioned before, they raised me to be who I am today, and they're cheering me on at everything that I'm doing and supporting me in everything, and you know, I love them so much, and, you know, just my whole family has just been so supportive, and, you know, Dr. Dorfman's just been a tremendous help, and, you know, me being out here in L.A. and trying to get settled and situated, and you know, I just, those people just, you know, they're people I look up to, and who I, you know, I want to, my biggest goal is, you know, to make them proud and to make an impact on others, and it's just, it's, one day at a time, but, you know, I'm very excited, and, you know, those people just, they just mean the world to me.
You know, and you have attracted such amazing people to you. You have your parents, which you dearly love, and then, you know, Dr. Dorfman, for those of you who may not recognize the name, not only has he done amazing, amazing philanthropy with the LEAP organization, but he was also one of the star professionals on Extreme Makeover. And James Malinchak, who you mentioned, devoted his time to turning around the lives of those that are homeless and really in need in The Secret Millionaire. And so you have certainly attracted some tremendous people to you because you are so inspiring yourself. What specifically do you hope your story will help inspire in others?
I'm sorry, can you rephrase the question?
Yeah, sure. What do you hope your story will inspire in others? What types of things?
The biggest thing is that no matter what happens, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter if you were abused. It doesn't matter if, if you were a foster child your whole life. It doesn't matter what happened. What matters is that you control your destiny. You control the outcome, and you can take any past event and develop it into, you know, you being a great person and you really inspiring and helping others and making a huge impact on others.
And, you know, I have to say it was such a horrific experience, but tell us a little bit about how it shaped your life, because, I mean, you already shared, I mean, your future at 20 is so bright. You have appeared with some of the biggest and the best on stage already, and now you're making yourself available to do some amazing things for organizations and people all over the world to make your experience really come to life and be something positive for them, the way you've seen it happen for you. So how has your experience shaped your life overall when you look at it through the young eyes of 20 years old?
It's really kind of been an inspiration after being on Oprah and seeing all those people send me messages telling me that I inspire them and that, you know, they want to, you know, be a better person and that they want to take their past event and not forget about it, but really just hold on to it and be able to control it instead of letting it control them. So that really motivated me to speak to, you know, to children, to speak to businesses, and to speak to really whoever will listen, to teach them that, to show them that, you know, I'm a prime example of, you know, someone who had a horrible past event, and that I'm doing what I can to impact others and to make a difference and, you know, to change people's lives. And so I started motivational speaking, you know, kind of a side career that I'm working on, you know, in my spare time. And I've really kind of devoted a lot of time to that and a lot of, you know, and even if I don't get anything in return from that, that's fine. You know, I've put so much into that because I want to change people's lives and I want to motivate people to be something better. So I, you know, I have a website. It's www.claytonspeaks.com. I have a Facebook fan page, facebook.com/claytonspeaks. Those are the two, you know, kind of my portals for accessing people and really getting the word out there and hopefully being able to speak at some big events and impact, you know, a great amount of people. And the thing with it is if I impact those people, you know, if I speak to 500 people, if each one of those people tells two of their friends, I've impacted 1,000 more people. So, that's a total of 1,500 people, and you know, that's what I want. You know, I've already, you know, through my website and through Facebook, really people have, you know, seen my message and they have shared it with their friends, and that's kind of why I'm getting the fan mail and things like that I am, and you know, that's what I want to keep doing, and I'm going to do it until I can't do it anymore, because you know, if I feel like this is something that I'm destined to do and that God wants me to do, is to really change and impact other people's lives.
And you know, taking again a really horrific experience at such a young age, you know, such a tarnished type of feeling about life, and being able to turn that around to a really bright, shiny viewpoint, and something that you can share with everyone as unlimited possibilities, is such a gift, Clayton. And I thank you so much for being here with us today. Anytime I have any exposure to you, you just inspire me to no end. So thank you so much for making the time to be here with us today.
And thank you so much for having me. It means the world.
And once again, the website, if you would like to hear more of the wonderful inspiration and wisdom that Clayton has, you can reach him at www.claytonspeaks, that's claytonspeaks.com, claytonspeaks.com. So Clayton, again, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vicki.
Thank you for sharing time with us today. Once again, to enjoy a free preview of the new bestseller, Ready, Aim, Inspire, visit Amazon.com. To discover more about Expert Insights Publishing, visit expertinsightspublishing.com. Until next time, have a great week.